Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. Spirituality and Metaphysics Talk Radio, featuring A Course in Miracles, Dream Interpretation, Guided Meditation, and the Psychic and Metaphysics Free-for-All. It's your opportunity to consult with a professional psychic medium, discuss past lives, the chakras, and more. We are non-denominational, and there are no limits. Want to change your life? You must first change your mind. No matter your religious structure, cultivate peace in your reality through self-awareness with an authentic spiritual teacher. And now, your host, Charlotte Spicer.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Spiritual Insights. Today, we have a special guest that has put a lot of work into helping others. She is a talk radio advocate. She is also an established author, radio host, publicist, public speaker, and writer. And she's done it again. She has compiled 16 ebook directories that feature all the information you would need before contacting the show to be a guest. These directories list shows by category, everything from animals to sports, and the one directory we're going to talk about today, of course, fits in with the show, and that is a New Age directory that features spirituality, metaphysics, paranormal. So she's put together a list of 225 shows that all of us can contact to do our thing. Her name is Francine Silverman, and she's got a lot to share with us. Francine, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you with us.
Thank you, Charlotte. How did I end up on a spiritual show? I'm so grounded.
I think I contacted you on LinkedIn.
I wish I were more spiritual.
Here's what we do on the show. We do not judge others. It's truly about spirituality, but I love the metaphysics side. But we do not judge others, and here's what I tell my students and people who attend my lectures. What you believe is right for you. So if you wherever you are in your path, you're fine, you know. So you don't have to wish to be more spiritual. But I contacted you on LinkedIn. I liked your energy, the energy of your photo, and then you were kind enough to offer putting me into your directory.
Well, we help each other, right? That's
right.
The name of the game, helping one another.
It is, and I want to build a community of support, so, you know, that's when we said, let's do a segment. It'll be fun. We get along so well. So take us back to the beginning. You honed your writing skills. You were a newspaper reporter and a freelance writer?
Yes, that's how it all started. And in 2003, I had I wanted to be a travel writer, God help me. And so I did two books, Catskills Alive and Long Island Alive, and I did these two travel books. And in 2003, I had the second edition of Catskill Alive and the first edition of Long Island Alive, and I had no idea how to promote them. So the Internet was really coming of its own, and I decided I'll start a newsletter online.
Mm-hmm.
So I started, called it Book Promotion Newsletter, and I, you know, found some authors, and I asked them if they'd like to be my subscribers, and they said yes, and I started with 10, and then it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and finally I had thousands, and 2 years later, I realized that they were so clever that I took their best marketing strategies and I put them into a book, and I had it self-published, and I called it Book Marketing from A to Z. And I had actually everything, 325 of their best marketing strategies I put into the book. And about that time, I had lunch with one of my subscribers, and she said, you know, you should really package your skills and offer your subscribers more than just a newsletter. I said, that's a good idea. So at that time, people were starting radio shows, and I had a radio show, and I was interviewing authors. So I said to my subscribers, for a price of $60 a year, I'll represent you on the Internet. You'll get my newsletter, and you'll come on my radio show. And I got more interest in that than I did. It was easier to collect the $60 than it was to collect the $25 or the, no, it was less, it was $9 or $7. It was easier to collect the $60 than the $7 for the subscription to the newsletter, because they thought, oh, I'm going to go on the radio and I'm going to be represented and I'm going to go on more radio shows. So that was how that started. Then when I started my publicity service, I realized that it was much easier to get the interest of radio hosts than it was of newspapers, because newspapers were folding and they were, you know, cutting staffs and everything else. And but radio hosts needed guests. So before you knew it, I had so many contacts with radio hosts that I decided I would write a put it into a book. So I put it into another book called Talk Radio Wants You, and I got a lot of shows. And but after I did the book, I realized that shows go in and out. So it really is better to do e-books than to do a book, because in a book you can't take the shows out and you can't put new ones in and you can't update them like an e-book. Right, exactly.
Right.
So I started sending out questionnaires to hosts, and a lot of the hosts filled them out. And I also was, at the same time, was promoting my authors, if I had authors that I felt were, you know, matched their needs. And I would say, oh, well, I have an author that's such and such. May I send you the bio? And very often they would say yes. And then that's how I got my authors on the radio.
Okay.
So that's basically how it started. It all started with the newsletter.
Got you. And
everything.
So you have the directories, and then you also have the online service where you will help people get onto shows.
Yes, and I only charge $125 a year, and I get my clients on the radio, both on terrestrial shows, that's on-air shows, and on the Internet shows. And sometimes the hosts are just thrilled. They are thrilled with my authors, and they send beautiful testimonials, and I put the testimonials on top of their bios.
Oh,
and I have one author whose bio is top heavy with testimonials. They love her.
Wow. Yeah, you have, and I was on your website, and you have excellent testimonials from clients that you've helped with your online publicity service. And this one says, if I may read it, "The money you request is some of the best spent I put out each year in my business. You have brought me a lot of appearance opportunities and are very attentive. You are also tremendously responsive, which I appreciate. Keep on keeping on." And that's from Eileen Dillon, the emotional pro and host of Full Power Living. You have fantastic reviews from these people that you've helped. So that sounds like a service that a lot of us would want to sign up for, because you're busy all the time.
Because the average publicist charges thousands of dollars, and they send out media kits, and they do this, and they do that, and they make phone calls. I don't do that. I do it all online. And it works.
That's smart. That's just smart. That's just working smart. And now the latest update that you made is to your directory of New Age radio talk shows. And you got the list up to 225, right?
Let me see. Somewhere around that.
Okay.
I don't know. I keep adding and subtracting. I don't know if it's 216, 215, 230, somewhere in that category. 218, I think.
So with the updating, because shows do go defunct or change their website, whatever they want to do, if they don't keep up with you, then they could be dropped from it. But you cover everything from astrology to angels, holistic healing, people like me. And so a lot of my guests would be interested in having your directory, because those are the shows that they're shopping around. And it's
New Age is very, very popular on the air. The only thing that has more shows, business and self-help, which you can understand, but New Age is right up there.
Business and self-help, they have a lot. Well, you know, self-help would work. Would they accept spiritual speakers, motivational speakers, the self-help people?
Yes. Well, some of the shows are in both. Some of the shows are in New Age and self-help. Somehow they're linked. you know, some shows say we take spiritual authors and self-help authors or something like that, and so I put them in both.
Okay. But you take each, you know, you thoroughly research everything, and I want to explain how each entry includes for the reader the show's title, the theme, the host name, guest criteria, email, website, optional phone number, best contact method, and where they air their show. And that's everything someone really needs. And then they can contact the show themselves?
Well, most directories are just listings, and they don't include the two most important things. The two most important things are the guest criteria and the theme. And you don't know that. You don't know that when you go to these radio websites. They don't tell you basically what theme, you know.
So you'd be wasting a lot of your valuable time contacting a show that you wouldn't have been a good fit for to begin with.
Well, I don't know if it's wasting time. I mean, it's part of it's part of what I do.
No, not you. I mean, if I were to go to like a regular listing, and the title says one thing, and I go and I find out they deal with something that I don't fit into, then I could have pinpointed
exactly
a better
show. That's why these e-books are so valuable, because they really specify what they're looking for.
Yeah. And for $25, that's a pretty decent investment for all the
books. Yes, well, the New Age book is $25. Some of them are a little less. They have less shows. They range in price from $12 to $25.
Depending on the category.
Depending on how many shows are in the book. For example, the Environment book only has 40 shows, so it's $12.
Okay. That's great. I mean, it's such an original idea, I think. Maybe other people have thought to do it, but I like the way you present it, and I like the way you have broken them up into the 16. And so tell us about your radio show.
My radio show is called Fraternizing with Fran, and I have a co-host and a producer. He's the same person, the co-host and the producer.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does is he records the show. We interview interesting people, and we never lack for interesting people. I mean, every week it's a terrific show, and he puts the show up on AirCheck. And he's trying very hard to get the show syndicated.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody wants, if anybody's on the show and they want to get, you know, an audio, they go to AirCheck and they can find it.
AirCheck is where it airs?
It's actually aircheck.us/show/876.
Okay. And there's a whole directory of shows, and so they can find Fraternizing with Fran. What's the most interesting person you think you've interviewed? Do you have any funny stories?
We had a few weeks ago, we had a guy who believes in UFOs.
And
of course, neither my co-host nor I believe in them. And the guy was, not that he was that interesting, but it was the subject matter was interesting. We had a producer, a movie producer.
Uh-huh.
And last week we had on a woman who was really, she had sent me her book. She was really abused as a child. She grew up in the wilds of North Dakota in a dilapidated farmhouse. And she was so abused by her parents and her brother.
Mm.
And, I mean, the book was just harrowing. It was, I mean, I couldn't believe that a child could grow up and be normal after what she went through.
Yeah.
And she did. She came out of it. She got herself into therapy, and she wrote a book about it. And, you know, so every person is interesting in their own way if they know how to present themselves.
Absolutely, and, you know, everybody has a story to tell, and a lot of us have had difficult childhoods, some harder than others. And, you know, I love when a guest comes on and they go to tell their story, and it's something you can really relate to. And it's just so helpful to everybody else to hear these stories and hear how they overcome their circumstances. There's just wonderful people in this world that have so much to offer, and we all, I think, have something to teach and something to learn. So your show sounds like it offers all that to the listeners.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If anybody listening to it would benefit from it, because the people are telling you, you know, how they got started or where they came from or what they're heading towards, or, you know, just it's so interesting talking to all these people.
So what are your hopes for the future with the show?
Well, I'm hoping that it gets syndicated. I just started a new a blog called talkradioadvocate.blogspot.com. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that most blogs on radio talk about, you know, the legal implications of the show, or they concentrate on our on-air shows, you know, terrestrial shows, and who's leaving and who's not leaving and stuff like that. I am concentrating on it from the perspective of the radio, of the host and the guest. And I have articles that I have written which include things like preparing for an interview for a radio show, what is a guest from hell.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And each month I'm featuring a different show that is either in my ebook or my book. And this way I have to contact the people behind the scenes and let them know what I'm all about. And I figured this way, you know, if I get some of them to contribute, it will help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so right. That's...
Well, you raise an interesting point. So here's the question I want to ask you. How would you describe a good guest versus a bad guest?
Well, a bad guest talks in a monotone or doesn't speak very quickly, drones on and doesn't speak. A good guest knows their subject, will keep the conversation lively, and answers questions, knows how not to talk over the host. I have a host who told me once that he had a woman on who was a bit very big in her field, and he brought her into the studio, and she froze. She froze. She couldn't even tell him her name.
Why?
Because she was on the air, and she froze.
Hmm.
And he said it was the longest hour in radio that he has ever spent.
That's a shame. Because if you're going to put yourself out there, you've got to have a certain level of comfort with public speaking.
No, especially somebody who's very big in her field. You know, you would think that she went out and spoke, and you know.
Was she an author? Did she have like a book that took off like crazy?
I don't know if she was an author, but she was big in her field.
Yeah, but she wasn't.
I think she was in the travel field.
Got you. But she wasn't nearly what they expected when she arrived, huh?
No.
Hmm.
No.
I love when, if I have a guest on who's very knowledgeable, you know, in their subject or their technique, and I ask them a question, and I get to sit back and just enjoy listening to them answer it, even if the answer is 10 minutes long. I can just sit here with a smile on my face and just take notes. So, like, just some, so there's some really great speakers out there, and they also know how to move the conversation along in the way that I describe I would like to do. And then, you know, sometimes I have to step in and say, okay, well, let's move to this topic now, and then they go with the flow. And it creates a really great segment. But sometimes, you know, you can ask, there are some people, you can ask them one question and they answer another. And you gotta kind of dance fast and think, okay, how do I get this back on track?
Yes, so, and the worst guest is the one who doesn't show up. I've had that too. I'm sure you've had that, because nothing is worse for a host than a guest that doesn't show.
Only once. The other
only
the
once?
Other only once, and she had a serious issue to a family issue to deal with.
Well,
the,
if
stuff had,
I had one who had better things to do, and he decided not to do the show because he had better things to do.
That's
you know, and I think that that is the nightmare that every host.
Yes.
That's why I always make sure to remind the guest a week in advance, and
mm-hmm.
then a day in advance.
Yes.
Because I don't want to take any chances.
Yes, I like to see a level of commitment, and I have a questionnaire that I have people fill out, and if I don't get that fast enough, I don't see a level of commitment. So I start to wonder, like, are they just busy? Do they have small children? Or, you know, is it not top on their list of priorities? But for the most, I've been lucky so far. I meet wonderful people. They respond beautifully. They get back to you when you send an email. They return your phone calls. I've had a wonderful experience so far, you know.
That's great. How long are you doing the show?
I launched in July.
You just started in July?
I only launched in July. I was working on the format and all the details and particulars for about 6 months. I'm extremely picky, so I didn't take my time. I was working 16-hour days for close to – I did that for about 4 months straight, and then I said, okay, I can slow down a little bit. And then once I got to the point where I said there's really nothing more you can do to improve the platform of the show and what you're planning to do with it, I jumped off the cliff and launched.
Well, good for you. Because you have a lot of competition on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, you do. And it took off like a rocket. Everything has fallen into place beautifully. Some people have connected me with other people. And then, because I told you, I wanted it to be a community of support. Some of my guests have linked up in their, if they live close by in other states. Like I have some people up in Vancouver, Canada. I have three
mm-hmm.
gentlemen who are counselors in different areas. But, you know, in the counseling arena, you don't find a lot of men. And so most of their clients were women, and they don't have, a lot of men to really talk to and compare experiences or what have you. So I connected three men up in Vancouver. They all lived in Vancouver. And now they're all helping each other in whatever form.
Isn't it a wonderful feeling when you bring people together?
Mm-hmm. I also have two other guests that lived, the one guest lives 10 minutes from the other guest's office. They're both authors. And the one contacted the other after reading his book. I said, you have to get this man's book. I'm not kidding. I would encourage all of my guests to read all the other guests' books. But he did read the gentleman's book, got in touch with them, and now they have lunch like every 2 weeks. And he offered to help market the other gentleman's book as well. So that community of support is taking shape as the show moves along. And that's one of the most rewarding aspects about it.
Yes, it is. That's what I am. That's what you are, and that's what I am. We're matchmakers.
They're calling me the soul connector.
We're matchmakers because we bring people together. I know some of my hosts say to me, write me notes and say, oh, thank you so much for sending me her. She was wonderful, you know, just.
Yes, and I just like the idea that, see, here's the way I work. I call myself a networking maniac. If I meet somebody and they say, suppose I meet somebody at the grocery store and they say, oh, they're looking for a new secretary, I'm going to go through my mind and think of who I know who might be looking for a job or a better job, and I'll recommend that person. Or if someone says they need, like, a certain gift, I have guests who make handcrafted gifts. One makes beautiful art from nature using gourds that they find in the forest and pine cones and pine needles, and they dye it, and they make this beautiful artwork. And a lot of people are looking for something different for a gift-giving occasion. And she also makes the cutest ornaments, and it's kind of funny. It's naked Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus. But they're holding ornaments in front of themselves to cover their naughty parts. And they're just the most adorable thing. So I said, I need to bring you on because this is what I'm also doing. I do spotlights for entrepreneurs and small business. Because I know how hard it is, you know how hard it is, when you work to get a project off the ground. You are wearing so many hats and doing the work of 20 people, you do not get a break, and it's all up to you. And I think those people need a voice. So I said, I want to bring people onto the show and spotlight their creativity, their dedication, their hard work, their spirit, you know, especially if they're just nice people. So I've had several spotlights so far, and a lot of wonderful authors. And then in January, the theme for the show is honoring your resolution to change your life. And many of us think that if we want to make changes in our lives, we have to change something outside of ourselves, or if we lose weight, we'll be happier. And it just doesn't work that way. You have to change your mind first, and then those changes emanate into your experience. So I'm going to have a lot of heavy hitters on for the month of January. We're going to have a lot of fun learning together, basically. You'll have to tune
in.
Well,
it sounds like you have bit off a lot. I love your spunk, and I love your dedication.
Thank you.
I love your networking abilities.
Yeah, well, I'll slow down eventually, maybe in February, but right now I'm doing between 4 and 6 shows per week. But anyway,
are you really?
Yes, I am.
Are you really? You're doing them, you mean it's not just once a week?
No, this week is 6 shows.
Oh, my God, how do you do it?
Well, I try to be as efficient as possible. I'm very detail-oriented, and I am a note taker. I have 2 databases that I built. I'm proficient in database management. My jobs in offices have really helped with multitasking and that sort of thing. I keep to a schedule, and I try to remain very focused even as I multitask, because I am scheduling appointments to speak with people to make an energetic connection. I will not have anybody on the air if I don't talk to them first. I want to know who you are, what makes you tick, and I kind of energetically evaluate them to see that they would be appropriate for the show. So once that's done, then I get them to fill out the questionnaire and I schedule a segment. Then I build the segment, then we hold the segment, and then I promote the segment outside of the normal social media. There's a lot out there that we can do, but I do a lot of it beforehand, and then I follow up with various other things. Like I'll make a YouTube video if they opt for that option. YouTube video, iTunes, different things like that. But you know what? I'm having so much fun. Sometimes it doesn't seem like work. You know, a lot of times I'm exhausted.
I know, but in other words, you have to be up. You have to be upbeat every single day of the week.
Yes, I work 7 days.
You have to talk to people, listen to people, and it's like my God. It's like how does Rush Limbaugh do it? But of course, he's not talking to anybody. He's just talking.
Yes, but you know what? It's an energetic exchange, and I'm meeting so many wonderful people that every day I'm inspired. I really am. I'm just so enjoying this process and the success. I have thousands of listeners already, and
you will be a success, Charlotte. You will be a success because you're really putting everything into it. You're putting your heart and soul into this. I mean, it's really.
I am, and I find
that I had to one show and I listened to my guest and I think it's a great show but I'm exhausted after the show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. The more I do this, the more energy I gather. I get so pumped up, just to be able, like for you and me to sit and have a conversation and have people hear what comprises a good guest or a bad guest. And help them hone their skill so that their careers can flourish. I think that's valuable information. You know, we're not speaking, we're not talking smack about anybody, but there are certain qualities in a guest that make other people want you on their show or that might not make them want to work with you again,
Uh-huh.
If you're difficult to work with or, like in my case, I asked somebody a question and the answer made me feel funny. And another person answered in a way that I think it could have been a little glossier, But, I mean, if they're open to my opinion, it is only my opinion, but if they're open to it, I would be happy to spend time with somebody and say, here's where I think you need to focus so that it makes a smoother interview. But you know what I'm learning? Because I'm friends with a lot of my guests now. I was kidnapped by several people, and one of my guests went to go on a very popular show and was told she would have half an hour, and the producer promised her half an hour, and then another producer called her up and demanded to know who she was. Wanted to know who the hell she was and what she thinks she was going to talk about, and then hung up on her. And then at 30 seconds before the show airing, another producer called her up and got her on the show, but she was only on for 7 minutes.
Yeah, that's the way it is with these shows. You're lucky if they give you 7 minutes.
I wasn't aware of that. I literally listened to about 3 shows before I launched mine. I said, okay, I think I'm good. But I heard that a lot of you have to be very selective who you want to associate to put your book out there, your project, your expertise, your company, and be careful that they're going to take good care of you, you know? That's my goal. And to be beaten up like that, I think that's a crime.
That's what happens when I was on any shows that were up there. I never had a good experience. The guy just, I had 2.5 seconds to say everything, or, you know, I never had a good experience.
That's a shame. So let's switch gears and tell people if there are any other radio show hosts listening. Let's talk about what we think a good experience is when we're dealing with a host. We want them – I'll say one thing and then you go. We want them to respect what we're doing. Would you think that's the most important thing?
Yes, and I think that when you go on the radio, if the host is a good host, and a lot of them do, is they tout your book or your service or your product many mm-hmm. times on the air, which I think is wonderful. That's why I always say that it's much better than TV, because TV, though you have a time for a sound bite and you have to travel, whereas with radio you can do your interview in your pajamas at home.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The host will tout you to the hilt. And where else can you go where you can talk about yourself for an hour?
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's...
Well, earlier today I was eating my lunch watching a very popular television show, and I got a little frustrated, and my husband said, what? I said, that's a lot to pack into 1 hour. I much would have preferred to hear that person talking for another 15 minutes to bringing on a decorator to show me a cool way to decorate my house for Christmas. I like listening to funny people or inspiring people, and they're on commercial ends. Here comes the guest. They make you laugh. Commercial comes on. They're gone. I said, I just think that format is a lot to pack into 1 hour. I know you want it to move quickly, but these people, just to kick back and talk to them and get to know them outside of the roles they play on TV mm-hmm. or in movies, I like that. I have fun with that. I know how to make a casserole. That's just me. That's just my opinion. But, yes, it involves a lot of the travel and makeup, and that's what I like. I don't like to wear makeup. I'm good at putting it on, but I'd much prefer sitting here with a clean face and have a really, really nice conversation with a really nice person, you know, and help people in the process. I think this segment will be helpful to a lot of people and give them food for thought, whether they are guests.
I hope so. I hope we have given them food for thought.
Well, one of my rules is I am huge on rudeness. I just don't think rudeness is ever justified. Unless you're being physically attacked or, you know, verbally attacked, you can say what you have to say. But to actually just be rude to somebody for no reason whatsoever is one of my pet peeves. So one of my rules for the way I live my life and the way I run my show is respect and non-judgment at all times. Because mm-hmm. you don't know a person, and you don't know their story.
I would never be rude to a guest.
No.
I would expect a guest never to be rude to me.
Right. Right.
I love having a co-host because I find that, you know, it used to be that I used to worry that the half an hour wouldn't go fast enough, I wouldn't have enough questions, or the guest wouldn't impart enough. But with a co-host, he always comes in with questions. You know, I do the introduction, he listens, and then he has questions. And it really is, it makes it so much smoother.
I had good experiences with that. With other shows that I was on where there was a host and a co-host, it's very fast-paced. The time flies by. It's a lot of fun and leaves the audience wanting more. And that was great. What I did for me was, I teach a lot. I'm a psychic medium. I specialize in dream interpretation, and I'm a 12-year student teacher of A Course in Miracles. So I have certain areas where I can speak knowledgeably. And the thing about the show for me is that this is a platform where I can do everything I'm good at and everything I love all under one umbrella, and then bring on other people who do similar things where I would like to share the spotlight and talk about the things that I do with other people who do the same thing with no competition, just pure love for everybody. Like, well, here's how I'm expressing myself and here's how I'm sharing my gift. How are you doing it? And it works out great. But come February, you know, I haven't really scratched the surface of what I do because I've been contacted by so many people that I want to accommodate everybody. I just want to do the nice thing, accommodate everybody, and then I'll get a nice rhythm next year. But this gives me my content, and what I'm going to do so far as a co-host is concerned is people that I have fun talking to who ask really good questions, I will invite them on as guest co-host. So when I feel the need to have somebody to bounce off of, because that really works for the flow of the show, when I need somebody to bounce off of, I'll have a guest co-host that I really enjoy their personality, and everybody gets a chance, you know, if I like that person.
I see. So you don't do it all the time. You just whenever the need strikes, you have a co-host.
How do you feel about coming and hanging out with me on the air? Well, what do I have to do, you know? You just have to hang out and talk with me, and then when callers come to ask me questions, I can do that, and we can have a nice side commentary, and nice and easy, just a little bit of fun in the afternoon. They're like, great, fine, you know. And now I won't always need that, but in the times where I don't want to be by myself, just talking and talking, and so, you know, and I'll have commercials to play, and I'll have sponsors, but, you know, just insofar as the format is concerned, giving someone another opportunity to get comfortable on the air, get used to the process, that's a nice gift. And then I have someone nice to talk to in between phone calls. So that's where I'm pretty much going
with that. Well, I like having one all the time.
Okay. Well, eventually I want this to go to a TV show, and I don't know that the Johnny Carson, McMahon, I don't know that would fit for the format for the show, like, because you will always have to interact, or do you focus on the audience, that kind of thing. If I take questions, the show will largely be formatted similar to the radio show. Does that make sense? But that's futuristic. We'll see how that manifests. But so far as your blog, how do you market your blog? Do you do a lot of what I do with social media?
Well, you know, I just started, and I went to the different places that host blogs. And I added my blog to different places, but then I realized that that's not really the way to go. The way to go is to just work on your blog, and if you have different websites on your blog, maybe it'll be picked up. And you know, I don't really know how to market a blog.
I know that
you're supposed to go on other blogs and comment on other blogs.
Yeah.
But there's no other blog like mine.
I'm happy to help you with that. Absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a lot of internet stuff that, you know, I've learned over the years that really get you more attention. But what I'd like to do is offer listeners, if you're tuning in and you're interested in being a guest on a show, or you want to be a radio host and you have some questions for either of us on either side of that fence, feel free to call in. The phone number is 347-934-0751, and you can ask Fran a question or you can ask me. Let's just talk about it and see how we can help you. So go ahead and call in, and I'll get to you in a couple minutes. But so what do you want to do so far as, like, with the directories? Are you going to expand the categories? Or are you continually looking to add categories?
Well, I had categories like paranormal, and I had a separate from spiritual.
Okay.
But I found that the paranormal wasn't selling. So what I did was I combined it with the spiritual. So I have less categories than I really needed, than more.
Okay.
In other words, if I have a category within a category that becomes so much on its own, then I will separate them. But but New Age can go be the umbrella for so many different topics, you know.
Right.
And paranormal certainly falls under the New Age topic.
It does. It does.
So.
The term New Age, it's shifting at the moment. But, yes, it is a very large umbrella, and paranormal, we call them paranormalies, they would be very interested in a directory like that because there are people. I've met this incredible woman. You said you had a guest who was talking about UFOs. And she started talking about the UFOs, and I'm kind of sitting there, and I'm thinking, be polite, just hear what she has to say. This woman had me riveted with the information she was sharing. She was a historian who researched for 30 years, and the things she was telling me had me so interested because I have an attention span when it comes to things. You better impress me pretty quickly because if I lose interest, you lost me. You lost me as a listener. And she had me for over an hour fascinated by everything she was telling me. She is fantastic, you know? And
that's
opened
what you
my
want.
Eyes.
That's what you want, somebody that will fascinate you.
Absolutely.
If they'll fascinate you, they'll fascinate the listeners.
Mm-hmm. And there's other things about other planets and all these different things that people are into, and there's a lot of them into it. So being on the air and having a show is a real opportunity to find out what's really out there and talk to interesting people about that personally and on the air. Yeah, I want to have her on the show, and I want to have people. There's these things called orbs, and, of course, I deal with spirits, and I'm a medium. So, of course, that's right up my alley. And just to kind of share, and I also want to do a support group between psychics where, you know, kind of talk shop on the air. I'm going to do a lot of stuff. I have had so many ideas. I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with ideas. You know, I do take a lot of notes and about a segment, and I use them for references, but I really do like the casual conversation aspect. You know, if it was so perfect and so scripted, I don't think it would be as much fun. Do you agree with that?
If the what?
If our shows were absolutely scripted and perfect, do you
no,
think it would be
I don't,
as much fun?
No, you can't have it. You can't have a scripted show.
No.
Because whatever the person is saying, you pick up on that. When my guests speak, I pick up on what they're saying, and then I could come up with questions based on what they just said.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
And people say they're surprised by this. I don't understand. I just have a high standard, I guess, for getting information out there. I really do. So as a public speaker, what have you done with public speaking?
Well, I haven't done that much public speaking. I did a little bit. I must say I joined Toastmasters, and I was a member of Toastmasters for quite a while, and we used to, you know, make speeches in front of the class.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
But I haven't gone. I really haven't gone out. I really should go out and speak more, but I don't. I don't know why.
Something. Maybe it's just not time. We'll know. And offers start coming in. Something falls into your path that says, okay, I need to pick this back up. You know.
Yeah, I've been invited to speak to groups, and I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Right. How did you get into public speaking? Is that something you did years ago?
Well, it was through Toastmasters that I got interested in it.
Oh, you joined them first and then you got interested in public speaking? I thought it was the reverse.
Yes, I joined it because I thought it would be good for me to be a public speaker since I'm an author and you always want to sell your books and, you know, want to get out and you want to talk in front of people. So I joined Toastmasters and I went for years. And then suddenly one day I just got bored with it and I just quit.
That's understandable.
Because you have to really commit yourself. You have to commit yourself to doing certain things.
Yes.
Going to certain meetings. And it's got to
be your forte, I think. You know, you want to promote your forte, what you're really good at. And if it's something you just dabble in, you don't want to spend a whole lot of time doing all of that. But I think everybody should contact you with regard to your online publicity service. You said that the membership includes your newsletter.
Yes. Well, all the information can be found at my website, which is talkradioadvocate.com.
Right.
All the news about my shows, not my shows, my e-books, my publicity service, my newsletter.
And what made you I like the title, Talk Radio Advocate, because you're so about, you know, getting quality content out there and helping others. When did you decide to dub that title, you know, put that title and put that
when I realized that I was so steeped into radio shows that I realized that that's what I was. I was a talk radio advocate. I was building up the shows. I was doing it through my publicity service. I was doing it through my e-books. You know, I just was. And even in my newsletter, I have a column which I call Progress Report. And every time I get a client on the radio, I report on it that this client was on such and such show or was going to be on such and such show.
So that's added promotion, even with the progress of the PR. That's smart. I'm sure they appreciate it.
Yes, they do. And I hope the readers do, too. Because the readers are authors, and well, some of them are radio hosts, but a lot of them are just authors. But, you know, they should, as authors, they should certainly want to go on the radio because, first of all, hosts love authors because they feel that authors are smart, authors are knowledgeable because they have a book that they've written about a certain subject.
Mm-hmm.
So they know what they're going to talk about. So, you know, Dan Poynter, in his book, you know, Dan Poynter is I don't know if you know him, he's a marketing guru. And he wrote in his book that he thinks that people become authors just to go on the radio. Because hosts love authors.
I don't agree with that. I'm a writer.
No?
I never thought to write something so that I can get on the radio and talk about it. I needed to get whatever that energy was in me out and on the paper. So maybe some people see it as a way to get. And if you can crank out a book that is worthy of being interviewed about, God bless you. But I think, you know, 99% of people have something in them. I got the idea for my children's book my senior year in high school. I remember the day. I remember what time it was. And it was this, you have to write this down. And, you know, eventually I did. But it wasn't to get publicity for it. It was I needed to give birth to this project, you know. And that's what most of the creative people feel, whether they paint or sculpt or write or play music. It's a channeling of a source greater than ourselves and bringing it to the world for enjoyment of others, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, There was something I wanted to tell you. Do you read, when you have an author on, do you read their book first?
Well, if they sent me the book, I do.
Okay.
Because some of them do send me the books, and I do read them. But if they don't send me the book, then I just try to get as much information as I can on Amazon or on their website.
Yes.
And, like, today I didn't have the guy's book, but so I asked him to describe the plot.
Right.
No.
Yes. No, I have
describe the plot and the author.
Mm-hmm. I have a huge pile of books, and I read every one of them. And I find that it makes the segment that much more Interesting, because I really have a natural curiosity, like where did you come from this angle and how did this happen and things like that.
Yes, but it's much better if you can read the book. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But not every author sends you the book, you know.
No, I encourage them to send a PDF format if it would save them money in postage, you know. And that way I can tackle it a bit every day until such time as there. Because
reading it online. I hate reading them online.
I try to protect my eyes, but if it'll save them money, I'm okay with that. I mean, just to get through it. But I like a physical book in my hand. It's just that I don't have a whole lot of room. So whatever method is best for the author, I'm okay with doing that. You know?
Yeah, but I have no room either. I have books coming out of my ears. Yeah,
No doubt. But I'm gonna ask all my authors to get in touch with you about your public relations work. Here's another testimonial from Melissa Zolo, who is an imagist and motivational speaker, and this is what she says about Fran. Working with Fran has been a very good experience for me. She is easy to work with, and she knows what she is doing. Her newsletter is worth reading, and most important of all, she has consistently booked me on talk shows, many of which have call-in. I have been on over 30 shows varying from self-help to spiritual themes. The hosts have all been prepared, and I enjoyed the interviews. And it goes on. People have found her. They've heard the shows. That's an excellent testimonial. That shows
I got her on a lot of shows. She stopped doing shows eventually because she changed her whatever she changed, I don't know. But she when I was representing her, I got her on shows, and the hosts loved her.
Mm.
They
well, good for her. Well, you know, sometimes you need to make a change. I guess that's okay. But well,
yeah, she got into screenwriting or something. I don't know, but she just changed her gears.
She shifted her focus. Okay, well, that's okay. And let's tell the audience one more time how to get in touch with you, where to find your show and your new blog. And
okay, talkradioadvocate.com is my mm-hmm. website. And talkradioadvocate.blogspot.com is my blog. Mm-hmm. And if you go on my website, you will see all the 16 e-books with descriptions and prices, so you can get an idea what each one is about.
Yeah, I highly recommend it, and thank you for adding me to the New Age directory. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Okay. Well, if you want more information from Fran about her online publicity service, feel free to contact her at franalive@optonline.net. There is a link on the show page. If you're tuning in through iTunes or other media, just go to the website. All of her contact information is there, talkradioadvocate.com. Fran, thank you so much for coming and spending time with us and sharing your expertise.
Thank you.
You've been doing this for quite a lot longer than I have, so you had a lot of information that I think is very valuable for the listeners. I appreciate it.
Charlotte, thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate
it. You're quite welcome. Okay, everyone, that's our show. As always, God bless and be at peace. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.